الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, today we begin our next chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-A'la. Surah Al-A'la is a Makki surah. One of the indications towards this is a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah on the authority of Hazrat Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala an. This hadith is a long hadith. We'll not go into the details. However, in this hadith, Hazrat Bara radiallahu ta'ala anhu indicates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not arrived in Madinatul Munawwara before Hazrat Bara radiallahu ta'ala anhu had learnt this chapter, Suratul A'la, which means that it was revealed in Makkah, and then through the early Sahabas who had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, Hazrat Bara radiallahu ta'ala anhu had learnt this chapter. Just to highlight a few virtues and a hadith connected with this surah, one hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah on the authority of Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu, he says, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhibbu hadhihi surah ay sabbih isma rabbikal a'la." And the hadith means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love this surah, yani sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. In another hadith, the long hadith in which Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a complaint was leveled against Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to go and lead his people in salah. And in one of the salahs, he either recited Surah Al-Baqarah or Surah Al-Nisa, obviously very long surah. So a complaint was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said to Hazrat Mu'adh, "Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh, that are you causing a fitna amongst the people?" And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an to recite Surah Al-A'la along with Surah Al-Shams and Surah Al-Layl in the Salah of Isha Salah. In another hadith, Rasulullah, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this surah, Surah Al-A'la, and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Hal Ataka Hadith Al-Ghashiyah, in the two rakats of Eidain, the two Eids, and also in the two rakats of Jumu'ah Salah. So the Imma should try their best to fulfill the surah, Sabbih Isma, in the first rakat, complete, and Surah Al-Ghashiyah in the second rakat, complete. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have one of the famous sunnahs of the three rakats of Witr Salah, and this is something that we can all act upon, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first rakat would recite Sabbih Isma Surah Al-A'la, in the second rakat Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam would recite Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, And in the third rakat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Surah Al-Ikhlas. So we should all, this is something we can do every day throughout the year. We should try our best to act upon this. Along with this, there are 9 other different combinations that are narrated from the ahadith. They normally go around. Maybe inshallah I can ask the social media team to post this on Nurul Islam's social media. Then inshallah we can look at this. And what tends to happen is then the a'imma during Ramadan, after Taraweeh, they act upon this. But we should individually act upon all of these different sunnahs. So inshallah, I will ask them if they can post this on their social media. It just come to our mind now that we can do this. And inshallah, once it's sent out, then we can all look at it. And then every day take a look at it. And one by one, complete all 10 different combinations of the sunan that are found in the different narrations of ahadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, it is narrated that from Hazrat Ibn Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqra'u fil witri bisabbih isma rabbika al-a'la wa kul ya'ihul kafirun. In another hadith, it's mentioned that when the verses from Surah Al-Waqi'ah, fasabbih bismi rabbika al-azim, were revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the Sahaba that ij'alu fi hadha fi ruku'ikum. Ij'aluha fi ruku'ikum, and that to make this sabbih isma rabbika al-azim, yani to say subhana rabbi al-azim, make this in your ruku'. And when فَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَعْلَى قَالَ اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي سُجُودِكُمْ. And when the verses, this surah, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَعْلَى, these verses were revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that put this into your sajda. This hadith is from Abu Dawud Sharif, hadith number 869. Another hadith with regards to this surah is a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this surah, and obviously this hadith is for outside of salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. After this verse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. And in one another narration that's just come to mind, it's mentioned that before the compilation of the Qur'an, there were many different scripts of the Holy Qur'an that were in the possession of various different Sahaba, as they had heard the Qur'an from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the scripture of Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, the verse actually was Subhana Rabbi al-A'la alladhi khalaqa fasawwa. Obviously this was taken out when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala who completed the compilation of the Qur'an and made the script of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So in one of the previous scripts, this was the verse. So now we move on to the translation of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. سَبَّحَ يُسَبِّهُ تَسْبِحْ. This word سَبِّحْ, it's an imperative noun. It's an imperative verb, sorry. And it's a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah to سَبَّحَ يُسَبِّهُ means to proclaim the purity. To proclaim the purity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that proclaim the purity isma of the name of your Lord the most exalted. Of the name of your Lord the most exalted. So from this verse there are two possible interpretations. The first interpretation is a literal meaning that first of all we should address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those names that are included in the Quran and Hadith. And also when taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should honor the name, we should love the name, and treat the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the reverence and respect that they deserve and that it is their right. Also, the ulama have written with regards to taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should not call other people, we should not name other people or call other people with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this doesn't normally happen. However, there is one area where we tend to slip up, and I include myself in this. And that is when we have friends, family members who have names like Abdul Rahman and Abdul Rahim and Abdul Jabbar, etc. So their names mean the servant of Rahman, the servant of Rahim. But what happens is we tend to just shorten the name to Rahman or Rahim, and then it just becomes their name. So then what happens is we are naming them, what ends up happening is that we are naming someone with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where this is the sifa and these are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Abdul Razak. Yeah, Razak means the one who gives sustenance. So how can we call someone who is not Allah only? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razak. So how can we call Ghayrullah? How can we call the creation Razak? So then this is impermissible. The ulama have written that it is of utmost importance that we avoid negligence in this regard. And we, if their name is full, then we should name them properly and fully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing sins and disrespecting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the rights of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling people properly by the names. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The second interpretation with regards to this verse is not to... It is meaning that the meaning isn't to honor the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the commandment here is to proclaim the purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. This is entirely possible because the rules of the Arabic language, when we look at the interpretations of these verses in the Quran and Ahadith, then this interpretation of the verse is entirely possible. Just like the Hadith we mentioned before, where Rasulullah ﷺ, what did Rasulullah ﷺ used to say? Subbihi isma rabbika al-a'la, subhana rabbi al-a'la. And what does that mean? That I proclaim the purity of my Lord, the Most Exalted. So conformity with the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going on to proclaim the purity of Allah himself. So we find that this second interpretation, this is also the opinion that's mentioned in Jalalain, the very famous tafsir of Jalalain. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, the one who created and he perfected, or he created well. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهْدَى. So in these two verses, there are four qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the first quality is that of الَّذِي خَلَقَ, the one who created. Now, it is to create something from nothing is not within the realms of possibility for a being who is created themselves. Because for a being who is created themselves, there has to be a creator before them. So everything was created from nothing, right? Everything was created from nothing. So who has the ability to create something from nothing? If you say that a person who is created himself, that doesn't make sense. So the only being that has the ability of what's known in Arabic as ijad, to bring something from Adam, from nothingness into ijad, into existence. The only being who has this ability is that being who is not created himself. He is the one that was always created. Because what happens is that if I say, like we question how did everything come into existence. If I say that, okay, I created, just for argument's sake, I created everything. So then the question will be that, okay, so who created you? So I am created myself, so then I have to go back and say that, well, so-and-so created me. They say, okay, well, who created him? And then this is, in English, is known as infinite regress. Infinite regress, and in Arabic, it's known as tasalsul. That then you'll just carry on infinitely, so that's a never-ending cycle, and then that will lead to an impossibility of the existence of the entire world. So the only way that we come out of this and we explain the creation and the existence of the world is by explaining that no, there's a being who was not created. A being who was always in existence. He is the one that created everything. And that being is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next word, fasawwa. Fasawwa means when you do something, you do it properly. You do it properly and you do it in the best of ways. And there are, with regards to this, we can talk all night. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and to try and put this and the next verse is وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, the one who determined a measure for everything and then guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire world. The creation of the entire world, you can take it as an example of a machine or a car that has various different parts, and each part has their own duty, and when each part of this machine does their duty properly, then the machine as a whole will function. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything inside the world, and everything in the world, they work together. There's a perfect system, and we can look at this from a micro perspective and a macro perspective. We can look at it very specifically, and I'll give one example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings that we eat with our mouths. So what happens? Let's just look at the process of eating. So what we do first is we have food on the plate, and we look at the food with our eyes. So first we look at the food with our eyes, and we know what kind of food we like. So we sort of zone in on the morsel, like, I want to eat that kebab, because that's my favorite kebab. So first what you're doing is, you're looking with your eyes. And your eyes are on your face. And then you reach out and you take it. And then as the food advances towards your mouth, what happens? Before it goes into your mouth, you're able to smell it. So just in this one, first of all, you're looking at it, then you're able to smell it. Now, if the food's off or it's old, immediately as soon as... for example, milk. You put it, smells off that. So you won't put it in your mouth. Now imagine your eyes on your back. So you'd have to sort of, you know, position yourself in such a way that you're able to see the food. And then you're taking it from the back, you're turning around, bringing it to the front. And then imagine your nose was on your left foot. And you have to put your foot on it to smell it. But the way Allah, and then bring it to your mouth and finally eat it. But the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, everything was perfect in such an orderly fashion, in such a way that the way we are able to function on our day-to-day activities is done with smoothness. We can hear people. There's one ear on the left, one ear on the right. Imagine there was only one ear. So we'd be able to hear people on our right hand side, but not people on our left hand side. So we're crossing the road, and we're going to get knocked over by cars on the left hand side every single day. But Allah created two ears on both sides. And this is a subject that we can talk about all night long, and we'd still not be able to finish how everything is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put everything as a machine that's working together. The ulama write that the entire world has been created for our servitude. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on top of this, one of the things mentioned in these four sifat are guidance. So I'll get to guidance in a second, I'm just going a bit here and there. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire world and for our servitude. And every being, every creation, they have a job. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this job. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, He determined a measure for everything. Meaning that, there's two meanings of this. One meaning is that in terms of proportionality, that everything, that it can also mean that of, in terms of proportionality, so for example, I'm just mentioning now about the human body, that everything was in proportion, the size of the ears, the mouth, the amount we eat, the amount we consume, the amount humans consume, proportionality. And the second meaning of qaddara can mean that Allah subhanahu, it can come from the meaning of taqdeer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed the role of each component of this universe. And what happens is everyone has their own role. And we look into science, for example, and we mentioned how previously in times, for example, if you were to take that there's a food chain amongst the animals, and if you were to destroy one animal from that food chain, it has a butterfly effect, and it can lead to something that seemingly completely unconnected to that. The reason for this is that the entire universe, there's a system. Each we depend, for example, a very small example again, is that we breathe out carbon dioxide and we breathe in oxygen. And the plantation, the trees and the plants, they breathe in carbon dioxide and they breathe out oxygen. So we work together. Like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is just one small connection that we have made. Like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the entire universe is being made like this, like a machine that works together and it functions. And finally, these are all signs of the hikmah, the wisdom and the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to finish on one example. And I take the example of the solar system. Some people claim that the world, the universe, it just came into existence. It's all just random. However, we look at the example of the solar system. The size of the solar system is approximately 30 trillion kilometers, 18 trillion miles. Inside this humongous solar system, you can't even imagine what a trillion kilometers looks like, right? This 30 trillion kilometers, inside this there are planets, 8 planets, 9 planets, who knows? Yeah, science keeps changing all the time. The diameters of these planets vary from 3,000 miles to 90,000 miles long. Within this huge solar system, there are planets of various sizes. And these planets are moving at speeds of approximately between 12,000 miles an hour and 77,000 miles an hour. So you have a solar system 30 trillion kilometers long. You have planets moving around at speeds of 12,000 to 77,000 miles an hour, whose diameters are between 3,000 miles to 90,000 miles. And all of them, they're not just taking up their own little spaces in the solar system. They're all going around the entire solar system, going around the sun, which itself has a diameter of approximately 1.4 million kilometers. Yet, we find that none of them ever, ever, ever crash into each other. None of them ever get destroyed. None of them ever go out of their orbit. They all stay within the correct distances from each other, within the correct distance from the sun at its appointed time. And this cycle has been going on ever since the beginning of existence. Now, to say that all of this just came into existence without someone, without a mastermind who had a plan for all of this, to say this would be, you know, ultimate stupidity. Yeah, to say that, never mind the entire solar system, to say that a small masjid or a small company just runs itself. There's no CEO, there's no one, everyone just knows their job, they just run itself. Even that would be impossible, so how can we deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who runs and controls and created everything? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recognize Him through His signs. We should take out time, and I'll finish on it, we should take out time to look into the various, like for example, in the Quran is mentioned about the ants. Just study ants for a while and their behaviors and how they help each other, how they work with each other, and then move on. Study other animals, study different species, their behaviors, their contribution to society, to their contribution to the biome of this world. And it's actually amazing. All of these things are an indication to the qudra and the power and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recognize Him for who He is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true understanding of the Holy Quran and a true love for the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the men of the Quran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those for whom the Quran will be an intercessor. The Quran is an intercessor whose intercession will be accepted. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.